Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, so I got stuck on a phrase. I just had to sneeze. I always sneeze at least in pairs, sometimes in more than pairs. So bear with me here if I got another sneeze that comes upon me. I had a phrase. I woke up with it today. Actually woke up with the phrase. Here it comes. Bless me. That's number two. I may have as many as four. Just the way I operate. The public good. For the public good. That's what they're, that, pardon me, man, I'm all tied up here. That's how they're selling us all this stuff that's going on around us, you know, for the public good. Everything's for the public good. And, you know, it's really, really a hook when they do that to us. So they want us to take the vaccine because it's for the public good. It's for the public good, right? And they want us to social distance because it's for the public good. And they want you to give up your job, stay at home because it's for the public good. But it's selective public goodness, isn't it? It isn't really for the good of the public. It's for the good of those who have an agenda that they want to shove upon the public. Then it becomes for the public good. It's for the public good. We are in a population, depopulation agenda in the midst of it. We don't know that, we haven't figured that out yet, but we are. Did you know the leading abortion? I didn't know this. Just saw this morning. Stream of consciousness here. Do you know the leading, how do I want to say this? Do you know there's more abortions in Israel per capita than any country in the world? Do you guys know that? I wasn't aware of that. Because there's a difference between Christianity and the Old Testament. I want to say this in a nice way. Now, maybe I won't get on. I want to get on that horse, but I want to get off that horse because listen, here's what I'm trying to say. Who determines for us what is the public good? Should Joe Silver sacrifice his job for the public good when really the public good is masquerading as nothing more than a way for Pfizer to make more money? Or the public good is Joe laying down his freedoms so that the pharmaceutical companies can have more power. Is the public good for Joe Silver to keep his mouth shut so the homosexual agenda can be further perpetrated upon our children in schools? Is that the public good? What do we mean by the public good? What does that even mean?
Because that's the majority rule issue.
Well, it's not even the majority anymore, Joe, because the public good isn't for the good of. I'm going somewhere with me. Stay with me, okay? Let me get my feet up. Get your hand up, Joe. Go ahead. Do you want to say something? I've been talking about you here.
I was going to say in Israel, you're trying to deal with the abortion per capita Israel kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is Judaism versus Christianity, okay? And their perception of when life begins.
Explain. I'm with you, Joe. You're saying it a lot nicer than what I was. I don't mean it to sound not nice. I just don't know how else to say it. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I mean, because Scripture is really clear on this. It begins at conception, okay? But they're not doing that today, mainly because of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're really not referring back to Scripture about it.
That's right. So the question is, and we've asked this many times, I'm not going to get into this one. So relax. I'll get off that horse. Judaism. Thank you for coming up with that word, Joe. Judaism, they don't follow the Old Testament. Not really, do they, Joe? They follow other things. And we've been hoodwinked into believing that Judaism follows the same values as Christianity. And friends, I'm sorry, that just isn't true. It just isn't true. So that's part of the deception that we're all dealing with out there. And I don't even know how I got on it, although it was on me as I was coming down the steps. I'm getting ready to write today on what really happened. That's my commentary. Lord woke me up last night. And what really happened. And I think we've been hoodwinked about a lot of different things. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the public good is from the media and the government, et cetera, is determined by those self-appointed guardians of they're smart enough to know what's good
right.
for the public. And the
That's
public
it, Larry.
Is not smart enough. That's exactly
That's right,
where
Larry.
It comes from.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Larry. You're not the Lord. But the Lord dropped this in my spirit today because I think this is so critical for us to understand. It's who determines public good? Is some guy losing his business because they forced him to shut it down? Is that for the public good? Well, it's not for his good. Maybe it's for Walmart's good. Maybe it's for Home Depot's good. But it's not for his good. And who determines the public good? The masking of our children. Remember Psalm 2, the kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord, against his anointed. So the kings of this earth are telling us what? To mask up for the public good? Who determines the public good? That's the, folks, this is the heart of the debate that's before us. But the Bible tells us this, can two walk together lest they agree? How long are we going to be able to walk together in this nation? We're seeing it unravel right now. How long are we going to be able to walk together in this nation if we cannot agree on the critical issues of the day? How can we not agree? For instance, number one, Candace just texted me, right? Life doesn't begin, it begins at fertilization. Life begins at fertilization, folks, right? The moment that baby, a new life has begun there. How can we in a society, how do we walk? Can two walk together lest they agree? How do we walk hand in hand, arm in arm, with a government that doesn't protect the most innocent amongst us? How do we, for the common good? Where does that, who determines that? And so we have this argument going on over today over the abortion debate. If you didn't see my show with Mark Harrington yesterday at Brighteon, I suggest that you watch it because we got into some of those deep issues of why the abortion continue to go on. But at the heart of it, folks, see, at the heart of it, there will be those who will tell us that abortion is for the common good. It's for the common good, right? And we buy into that. So the battle becomes, can I continue to walk together with a government, a group of people, who don't share the same values? How do we do that? That's the battle that's before us here this morning. I got some stuff I want to show you. But see, they're using it, aren't they? See, folks, they are always using our Christianity against us. Always. When they say it's for the common good, they're saying that because why? They expect we Christians, they are appealing to our better angels, that we Christians will always want to do what's for the common good. That's the way we are. When there are a group of people who couldn't care less about what they do for the common good. You with me? So we get caught into that trap again. I got some startling things to show you today about the vaccine and all that. And I don't always want this show to be made about that, but that is where the devil right now is poking his spear. Before I get too deep in it, I promised Dennis he has a topic he wants to talk up. Go ahead and bring it up real quick, Dennis.
Thank you, Coach. Just sure. Real quick, as you know, most of you know, I'm in the military for 100 years. And we're actually trying to get numbers of military members together so we can get in front of Congress as a particular one congressperson.
For the common good, of course, right, Dennis? For the common good.
Of course, for the common good, yeah. Now, to actually ensure that there's a fighting force for America because of all this going on. But this Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I am going to be on Dr. Alan Keyes's Brighteon show. What was that, Coach?
No, I said good.
Okay, and then to get the word out to military members. So for everybody here, tinyheartsbrigade.org or tinyheartsbrigade@gmail.com, and there's a military link on there. get me your contact information so I can start getting numbers so I can send it up to this congressperson in order to get in front of her. So it, tune in on Wednesday, and then, you know, once the link becomes available, share it to any military member across the world, because it affects us all.
It's for the common good. So what Dennis is saying, they're running guys out of the military, folks. At a time when we're going to, if you think this whole idea of defund the police and run the military isn't communist, Luciferian driven, dudes, shake your head. Your eyes are stuck there, right?
Coach,
by the way, I've had several people. Pardon me. Go ahead, Joe.
Is this for veterans or active duty or what?
Anybody that's been affected by this jab, like reservists, active duty, guardsmen, anybody that's been kicked out for it or is in the process of getting kicked out for it, anybody.
So anybody that you guys know who's fighting that fight, refer them to Dennis, all right? He's got some help, and he's going to take that one on. By the way, real quickly, I'm sorry. I got several people who emailed me and said, Coach, could we have a copy of that dialogue you had yesterday with that pastor? They said that was really illustrative. It really helped me formulate the argument in my head. So, Spence, I sent it today as an attachment. If you could, put that attachment in the link so people can grab that thing if they want to. I think they would be able to do that. And again, it was just the dialogue that I had with the pastor the other day. I got someplace I want to go, but I got them lined up here. Let's jump in here real quick. Bernie, go ahead. How you doing?
Okay, Coach, I just want to say, what if we say life does not begin at conception? It begins with a God who gives us life.
Right, Bernie, because the sperm's already alive. The sperm and the egg are already alive.
It is God who gives us life, and it's to God whom we owe our lives. And the other thing, when you say the common good, I'm just going back to in the garden, the whole temptation was to decide for yourself what is good and evil. But the common good, but that's then for society's good, but then it's for the socialist good.
Okay. That's right. That's what I'm saying, Bernie. What is the common good, and who's the one that's determining that, right?
It's not what's good, it's what's true. And only God's word is true.
Amen.
When you get on standard, your life is a lie. You live by lies.
That's right. That's right. Can two walk together lest they agree? That's what's happening to us, see? And the reason that it's happening is because those of us who have strong, dare I say it, Christian beliefs, we are acquiescing what? To the good of society. Right?
We're denying the scriptures because God's word is truth. We're going to live by truth. God's word is, without God's word, we don't have truth. And we're not doing a very good job of proclaiming it. All right? Yeah. We're not just another idea. All right. God is the truth. No, we're not the truth. God is the truth.
Amen. You're right, okay. Bernie. We're not doing a good job proclaiming it for sure. Dr. Paul, come on in. I love that hat, by the way.
Sorry about that. So my understanding of all this is the Rockefeller narrative, the construct of medicine that's been going on for 100 years. It was out there with Dr. McCullough. This master, a lot of doctors have a master's in public health. It's called an MPH. That's public health.
Mm.
And it's kind of losing sight of the, the trees through the woods. They do a lot of statistics. And, all it comes down is population control.
And yes.
These are the clowns right now who are pushing these vaccines, this religion that somehow, that can't be evil. But it's always been a problem for me, these eggheads that believe in all this science. It's absolutely bizarre. It's almost as if they go from believing in the science and God doesn't exist anymore.
Paul, not only that, you can't question science they support. The whole idea of science is to research science, is it not? Isn't that the whole idea behind it?
Science is nothing but the looking into the phenomenon that God created. And that's it's unbelievable that somehow that's been hijacked by humans who think they're God. That's the way I look at things. Sorry.
Did God really say, Paul? Did God really say? Is that really what he meant? It started in the garden. We're still fighting that same thing. By the way, Spencer, get ready. The second thing down, six comorbidities. This blew me away. Dale, come on in. Then Gary.
Amen, Coach, brother. When we talk about abortions, we're on a label. We have the abolitionists, we have the pro-lifers and all of these things. But, brother, then we have the extreme writers. But the farthest right is the Christian right. What the brother was just saying a little bit ago, the life doesn't just begin in the sperm. Life begins because God says in Psalms 139, he says, before I formed you, before I knitted you in your mother's womb, I already knew you. So, brother, mm-hmm. that's even before that. And so, brother, where the murderous spirit begins, it begins in the heart of man, right? James chapter 1:15 says, when we lust, we conceive, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it bringeth forth death. Matthew chapter 5, right? If a brother says he's angry in his heart, he's already a what? Murderer. Abortion. Yeah. Brother, that is the sin of the mind right there in itself. And life begins even before the conception.
Hey, Spencer, if you could real quickly, go to our website just so people can see that video I did yesterday, that they'd be able to find it. I did it with Mark Harrington on the Bride Young show. And it was really, really good. I got to confess to you, one of the things that troubled me all night is I went, our little grandson plays on a little basketball team. Spencer, I thought Jared posted it on our website. Did he not? I don't know. He plays on a little six-year-old basketball, so we went over and watched him. Yeah, there it is. Created equal, the first one there, buddy, right there. Yep. Folks, if you watch that, it'd be worth 44 minutes it takes to watch it. It'd be worth it. You can play it. Mark Harrington and I yesterday on Brideon. But anyway, I go last night and to the YMCA where my grandson's playing. There's like five games going on at the same time. A lot of people in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around. I'm always analyzing when I go someplace. And I'm trying to see people who maybe are on our side. I really do think that way. I promise you. Maybe who are on our side, maybe aren't, who are on our side. And maybe those who really understand what's going on. And those, I'm constantly evaluating and looking around. And I leaned over and I said to my wife something that I felt a tinge in my heart. I said, boy, you know, I said to her, man, a lot of trashy people here. By trashy, I meant kids are disheveled, runny noses, mom's there, four kids hanging on her arm, no dad. That's what I thought. That's what I meant by it. When I was walking out of the building, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's exactly what the elites say about you. Whoo, did my eyes open. We all have to be really, really careful, folks. We have to, pride cometh before a fall. And there but for the grace of God go I. That could have been my mother a generation ago. That could have been my grandmother a generation ago, fighting as hard as she could to try to do the right thing. And from outward appearance to me, that woman looked trashy. Are you with me?
Amen.
Tattoos up and down her arm. And so in my own heart, I saw darkness in my own heart. I didn't see, it wasn't darkness. It was just a reveal. The Lord just opened up a little crack. Said, oh, yeah, they're trashy, huh? That's what the Rockefellers saying about you. That's what those people were giving you. They want to give you a jab. They just think you're a useless eater, too. You with me, folks? This
That's
is very, very
the Holy
deep.
Spirit,
very
Coach.
That's was the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
We have to check our hearts, folks. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. There, but for the grace of God, go I. I thank God for all of my blessings. And see, it's like somehow I earned it. I didn't earn it. My dad worked his ass off, pardon me, two shifts a day for who knows how many years to give me the benefits that I have. My mom, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So when somebody says for the good of the group, I'm thinking for the good of the group, let's clean out half of this YMCA and then things will be right. And that's what the elites are saying. Now, that wasn't in my heart that I wanted to clean out the YMCA, but my heart was revealed to me that somehow I thought I was above them. Just because maybe I'm a little bit cleaner and I don't have any tattoos. And I don't get drunk and beat my wife. It don't make me any better. It makes me saved. Come on in, Gary.
Yes, we're talking about the public good. Well, when we consider that secular humanism has taken over so much of the thinking in our society today, especially among the elites, what is it that what is the approach that they would take? You know, if it's a man-based religion, secular humanism, then isn't their premise going to be pleasing men rather than pleasing God?
All right. So how do we let them get into positions of authority, Gary? That's the question. There would have been a time. See, that's crept into our churches, has it not? Churches. So we're fighting against all that, right? Now, listen, I got to say this. I have to say this. I get emails. People on the show compliment me, send me emails. Thank you, coach. You've changed my life. Yada, yada, yada. It makes me really, really uncomfortable because it's not very far from there to elitism. We'll say that again. It's a very short path from adoration or gratitude to elitism. And I think about some of the mega pastor churches that I've been into where you couldn't get to the pastor if you wanted to. There's an elitism in our Christianity that we have to be very, very careful of. And I appreciate compliments, and I try my best to receive compliments, but they make me uncomfortable. You know why I'm good at what I do? Because the Lord blessed me and gifted me to do what I do. I'm no better at what I do than some guy who gets under a car and fixes mufflers. He's good at what he does. And we have this attitude in our American society that because anybody who's a talking head behind a camera has to be bigger and better and badder than everybody else. And that just is not true.
Boom.
So amen. I don't ever, when you guys compliment me or get something like that, it ain't false humility. It just, I understand how small step that is. From adulation. Boys and girls, that's a really, really small step. And I don't ever want to get there. Because I know who I am. I know right now, were it not for the grace of God and a loving wife and a caring family, I know what I could be even right now. Even right now. And if you guys don't understand that about yourself, how the temptation of money and influence and prestige, how that could pull you off course. And then we look at the guys in Washington, D.C., and we don't understand what happened to us. It's because in our own daggone hearts, when others elevate us, we feel we're special. And the greatest thing that can ever happen to you is that people would trust you enough that they would elevate you. And if we didn't elevate people so high, we wouldn't be so disappointed when they fell. And if you are elevated to a position where people are counting on you, you have a greater responsibility. You don't get greater privileges. You have greater responsibility. We got it all backwards. We got it all. Jesus said, I am a servant. I come to serve. Come to serve. I don't come to make money off of you. I don't come to get on the late night talk shows. I don't come here to be a guest on Fox News with Tucker Carlson. I come here to be an advocate, to be a servant for you. Now, that sounds hokey, doesn't it? That's really my heart. That's really my heart. And I appreciate pats on the back, but they make me really uncomfortable. Come on in, Luann. Why? Why does it make me really uncomfortable? Because I know my heart. I didn't watch one play in the championship game. I didn't turn on that football game not one time last night. Not one time. And I'm glad I didn't. The adulation of Nick Saban. I could do Nick Saban's job. Maybe not as good as him, but I can do it. I could do Kirby Smart's job. He couldn't do mine. He couldn't do mine. He can have all that adulation. He can have all that money. You can have it all. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Luann. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, thanks for this information this morning, because here's where I sit last night at that school board meeting. These people, if you get a chance, anybody and you, Coach, go to the Mount Vernon School Board website and see what they're introducing. Stuff about mental awareness and the just with these kids. They have put the video up with lullaby music. They've got kids going in and teaching them how to breathe, squeeze some balls, spray shaving cream all over the desk and smear it all over. It's to release your anger and all this nonsense they're doing. It was disgusting. So then we get towards the, and I've already got some stuff laid out. I'm going to give them the scripture that children are the heritage from the Lord. and that we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I had the scriptures marked, and then they do this garbage, and you get up there for your 3 minutes, and it just sidetracks you. You know what I mean? But I still got the scripture out. And at the end of the 3 minutes, here's the elitism. These people think they're so much better than us, and we're noticing this in these meetings. So I get to the end of my 3 minutes, and Shorty warned, do not go over anymore. You're not allowed to go over your 3 minutes. 3 minutes, Dr. Marjorie Bennett, doctor, looks up and smirks. She's got a grin on her face. Mr. Klein, I think your 3 minutes are up. And I just kept going. Then I warned him. I said, we're going to get legislation passed. That we're going to get the money to follow the kids. We're going to get these kids out of these schools and either private schools or Christian schools or wherever they need to go. And you people are going to lose your money and the schools are going to crumble. Oh, my goodness. You ought to see her.
Well, by the way, Jeff, I just saw this today. Homeschooling has doubled. Folks, did you know that? Homeschooling in America has doubled. Amen. It's gone from 10% to 20%, meaning this. When the schools open back up, parents didn't send their kids back. They're at a tipping point, Jeff. They're at a tipping
point. Praise God.
And you got to keep the pressure on, which this is what I was going to do the show about this morning, but didn't get around to it. We need, every one of us need to get on the phone and call our pastors and ask our pastors, why in the hell don't we have school co-op going on in our church? Why don't we have that? Why is our church is empty 5 days a week? Why is our church not open for homeschool parents to come here together and let's teach our children together inside our church? Why don't we do that? Rather than this simple 1 hour Sunday school, one day a week, how do we think we're going to combat the schools? Let's open our church up, Pastor. Better question yet, Pastor. Pick up the phone and call the Nazarene pastor down the street and see if he might be interested in working together with us. And then pick up the phone and call the Baptist pastor, see if maybe he would be interested in doing the same thing too. Amen. See if all the churches here in this block, we can't get some type of school, Christian school co-op gone here. But we can't do that. Why? Because the Baptist doesn't like the Methodist, and the Methodist doesn't like the Lutheran, and the Lutheran doesn't like their doctrine.
Coach, we're sharing some of that right now. And I've been telling the people, 140 schools in Knox County or 140 churches, they're all empty. And so now it's catching on. Some people are getting the idea. But my thing is too, also, is we need to get them out of there. I agree all that. We need to get them out of there. But as 25 years of coaching kids, I need to be in there also to rescue the kids that can't get out. Cause there's going to be stuck in that garbage. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, they're saying, hey, Jeff, we pull them out, they're going to collapse. The next step is the money follows the kids, and we're off to the races. Yeah. We got you. Got to run. Myra, come on in.
Good morning, saints. How are you?
Good.
Psalm 106:3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he had doth righteousness at all times. Well, praise the Lord. This is bringing a big divide. The ones who want to serve the Lord line up. The ones they don't, they fall. Thank you.
Ooh. Lord loves judgment and justice. Why don't we? I don't understand that one. Larry.
Yeah. You know, somebody mentioned a while ago about truth, and truth stands as, you know, truth is. If you give up, you give in. I mean, if you've given in for the common good, et cetera, argument and stuff, you've given up on truth. Truth is something you don't compromise on. You don't say, well, I'll get back to it later. And then stick to the truth.
That's right. That's
when truth is being assaulted, you either give in and give up, or you stand for it.
There ain't no compromise on the way. Amen. Randy. Randy, hands up. Gary, go ahead while we're on Randy.
Yeah, I just want to say about the whole thing about raising or edifying people. I came up with an expression on that. It's meant to be a bit humorous, but it probably makes a point. Don't put me on a pedestal because I'm afraid of heights.
You're afraid of heights, Jim. Good one. I'm afraid of heights. Mel, come in. Then Randy.
Yeah. Good morning. Hey, I wanted to address what Jeff said. You know, Jeff, look for ESL. It's emotional and social learning. In the curriculum. You know, that is the gateway to critical race theory. I just put that piece together recently. So, you know, your textbooks and things in the schools aren't going to say critical race theory. Look for emotional social learning, ESL.
Okay, folks, so listen to me. You better hear me. This isn't the morality they're teaching. You understand that? They're teaching morality in your schools, friends. You better wake up and understand. They're just not teaching biblical morality. They're teaching a different type of secular morality, masquerading as sex education, or that's not the word I'm looking for, a diversity training, women having the same. It's a cultural, social morality void of the gospel. That's what they're teaching to us. They're not calling it that, and we don't realize that this morality is being taught to us under the guise of what? Education, right? It was Theodore Roosevelt, I believe, who said to educate a child and not educate him in morality is to educate a menace to society. And we're educating menaces to society. We're educating them in social traditions or breaking of social traditions without any biblical morality behind it. That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Coach,
that's why they got to bring in pills. That's why they got to bring in analysts and socialists. And that's why they have to do that. It's a different type of morality. Randy. Randy's hand is up. Maybe it's stuck. Craig, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, our friend and our brother down there in Norwood, Missouri, Reg Kelly, as every kid in that county going to his school would be a perfect example. If you could duplicate that across the country, I'd like to just lift him up to Jesus for it.
Reg is a good guy, and you're right, Craig. I don't know. Why can't they? Why don't they see it? Well, anyway, I don't want to beat on any pastors this morning. Kevin, come on in.
Yeah, two things, Coach. One, the one verse that keeps popping out to me is as you're talking along is where it says one ought not think too highly of oneself.
Yeah.
And that verse always echoes in my mind to keep me humble. You know, no matter how great you think you are, how unbad you think you are, you still got warts. You still got problems. You ain't perfect. And another thing yesterday, and you just kind of what you're saying is kind of reminding me of this. Yesterday when I came out of the plant up in Montreal, up there it's pretty common to see prostitutes because prostitution's legal, and you tend to look down on them. A lot of them are addicted to heroin, and it's a pretty sad sight. You'll see them standing out there on the corner, walking up and down the street. And so I came out of the plant and I went to leave. It was one young prostitute. She had to have been in her early 20s, out there in her winter coat. It was a cold day. And I come out, I go to swing the corner, and I look kind of over at her, and I actually made eye contact, and she put her head down when she saw me. And as soon as I swung the corner and went down the street, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder. He said, those are exactly the people that Jesus went to. And I went, wow. Geez, I as many years as I've been going up there, I never really thought about that. So,
well, we have to look at our own hearts, right? Because if we're not careful, we're in social strata, right? You got the whatever, those people I said last night to my wife, trashy people, they're sure trashy. Well, they're here, and I think I'm something special because I grew up in a good home that trained me and didn't put me on welfare and gave me an education. Beat my butt when I needed it. It wasn't anything I did, right? And you have to understand that the level above us, they think that about us. They think that about me. And the level above them think about that of all of us. And those are the ones who are in positions of power and authority, unfortunately. Veronica, come in.
Well, that's funny. I didn't even know how that my hand went up. But you know what I was thinking? Every day when I pray and I put on the armor of God, the very first thing, if you go on the list, is the belt of truth. So I think that should be a foundation when that guy was talking about truth. But anyhow, love you guys. Thanks.
Thanks. Yes, we need it. We definitely need a love of the truth. We don't have it anymore. Revelation 20:15 is out. Jerry or Wes? That's Jerry. That's Wes. It's Jerry.
Wes. I just wanted to say, Dave, that those who serve the least of these serve me.
I think we lost Coach.
Coach, Liberty Mel is exactly right. Last night in that program, that's the words they were using. emotional and social learning with the lullaby music. This was so disgusting. I was just livid. Now, here's this week. Last night was that disgusting meeting. Tonight is Fredericktown. They're denying two newly elected board members. They're saying they can't be on the board. They were elected. And then Thursday night, we got East Knox, where Pastor Matt sits on the board. And he told his congregation this past Sunday, we were down there with him. He said, we love it at East Knox because JC's coming in and reading scripture in our board meetings. And the people in their school are starting to like this, what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So we got every different gamut this week, three different schools, three different things firing up in the schools. It's crazy.
Keep after you, Jeff. That's the heart of where the battle is. Larry.
Yeah, whoever just said about the least of these and things, remember, it's the least of these, my brethren, that you do these things to by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You go out and start throwing God's blessings he's put in your lap and your control around and giving them back to Satan. You are casting your pearls before swine, and you're giving that which is holy to the dogs. Now, children, there's something about children that puts them in a different category. I got to confess to you, I'm not totally placed in my mind what the difference is and where the scriptural difference is, but in my heart, there's a difference in the children and stuff.
But well, Jesus also said, suffer not the little children coming to me. He made it very clear, the children.
The Holy Spirit and knowing who you're supposed to be ministering to by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We cannot ignore that. If just going out and ministering for the sake of ministering is casting your pearls before swine and giving that which is holy to the dogs.
Roger, come on in.
Oh, I was just going to go back a little bit to the whole encouragement issue. I guess I view it a little bit differently in that it is our culture that has screwed up the ability to compliment somebody. It is our faith that anchors us to being allowed to accept a compliment and move on, realizing we're nothing special. You know, God has created each of us unique. He's given each of us a certain skill. Your skill set may be the ability to do this. Mine may be the ability to do that. So the idea of saying to someone, you've done a good job or you're really good at that, it undermines how God has created us if we're not able to accept that in a biblical perspective, because God has given certain talents to certain people. And I don't think there's anything wrong to say, hey, you're very good at that. The problem is our sinful nature takes that you're very good at that to I'm special or I'm better than you. That's not what our Christian faith intends it to be. I'm big into, skill set. What is your skill set? Well, you're very good at this. And I'm going to have you do that. And if we want to get real Jesus-y, we're going to say, God created you, and this is a skill set he created in you. You're very good at that. No. I understand we're no better than anybody else, but I think it's good to encourage people and to compliment them with what they're doing and how they're doing it. The problem is not the compliment. It's how the person handles the compliment.
That's exactly right. That's right. Whether you become untouchable. That was the point that I'm making, right? When I begin to agree with what everybody says, that's when we got problems. Randy, come on in. And then Spencer, get that half hospitalization ready to go. Go, Randy.
Coach, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we got you.
Okay, Roger, thank you, brother. You just set me up, and that's probably God just didn't let me on, Coach, because I need to respond and add to what Roger just said. So we'll see how the Holy Spirit sets it all up. We got to see that, Coach. Anyway, it is, Roger. It's how we receive it, because, look, spirit of humility is lacking in a lot of Christians. They're very arrogant. They're very prideful, and that's not – that's not the image of Christ. That's not who he was. That's not who we should be. So, Coach, you're exactly right. What you, the Lord showed you in that seeing the difference in being in a lead or being a person with humility, there is a fine line right there, Coach. And I'm telling you, whenever David said, renew a right spirit in me, restore, you know, my salvation and all that in Psalm 51. What he's asking God to do is give him a spirit of humility, because he's the king and he can be an elite. But he, whenever he was had humility, Coach, God did great things through him. And he will do great things through us if we will have a spirit of humility and crucify the pride and the arrogance and all that bunch of selfishness. And that's what he's after in us, Coach. And we can still be confident and brave and courageous, and but not be in arrogance, and we can walk in humility. We need
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're most like the Lord when we're humble, right? Vinny.
Amen.
I just want to say that what they've done, Coach, they turned Christianity into aristocracy.
Yes, they have. Yes, we have. We've done it, Vinny. We've contributed to it. We put our pastor on a pedestal.
Boom.
We do. We do that. We put those who sing in the choir, we put them up on a stage. We put them on a – they didn't do it. We did it to ourselves. We put them on a pedestal. We like Christians that are stars. We like that. And I hope you like – I hope you enjoy this show, because I speak for you, not to you. I hope I speak for you. I hope I speak the things that you believe and the things that you feel, that you're not here just because of the things that I say, but rather their confirmation of what you believe. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, that book, Pagan Christianity, is probably a pretty good book to read, because it'll tell you a lot about certain things in the church that you see that they came from the world at that time, and they adopted it. And so that's what we've done. We put these, you know, you see these ministers on TV, they got all this stuff, and it's all, look at me, look at me. Yep. We've turned Christianity into a personal.
Yes, sir.
It's all about personality. It's all about me, not about the gospel of the kingdom being preached.
What really happened, huh? What really happened? I'm going to take that one on tomorrow as well. Hey, Spence, if you could pull up that video. Folks, this put me in a bad mood this morning. I watched it first. Initially, I got in a good mood, but it put me in a bad mood. Everything they've told us has been a lie. Everything they've told us has been a lie. What did I say? 1.5 speed, Spencer, you can play this at? This is Dr. 1.75. We can actually get to it. This is Scott Atlas, Dr. Scott Atlas. Folks, listen. Here's a title of this so you're prepared when you watch it. It says this. 2/3 of everybody who died from COVID, 2/3 of them had at least 6 comorbidities. They're now telling us, they're giving us statistics that 2/3 of everybody who died from COVID over the last 2 years, 2/3 had at least 6 comorbidities, 6 things that would have killed them had it been not there. Not, it doesn't say how many had 4 or how many had 2. 2/3 had 6 comorbidities. This is the greatest crime perpetrated upon America in the history of the United States, folks. This is worse. You're not allowed to say this. This is worse than the Holocaust. This is worse than the Holocaust. Our own government has lied to us. 2/3 had at least 6 comorbidities. A comorbidity means something that would have killed you if left alone. 2/3 of the people who died had 6 comorbidities. 1.75. Go ahead and play it, Spence. They don't even deny it anymore.
So here's an interesting story. For 2 years, we've talked about the numbers. What are the numbers? Turns out we don't really know what the numbers are, because there's too much lying about the numbers. This show has obtained a December 2020 email chain between senior CDC officials, Trey Moeller, Donald Trump appointee, who was CDC's deputy chief of staff at the time. He emailed top officials to ask why...
Go to 1.5.
...for nearly 30,000 cases of sepsis, 784 HIV cases, many drug overdoses, and somebody struck by lightning. Those didn't seem like COVID deaths to him. But the officials defended the policy of marking these deaths as COVID deaths, even though that didn't make sense. Bob Anderson, head of the CDC's mortality statistics branch, responded this way. In many cases, these comorbidities would not be fatal on their own. Oh, the lightning strike, for example, right? Now, over a year later, with Trump safely out of office, the CDC is publicly acknowledging, yeah, they lied.
I want to ask you about those encouraging headlines that we're talking about this morning, this new study showing just how well vaccines are working to prevent severe illness. Given that, is it time to start rethinking how we're living with this virus, that it's potentially here to stay?
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least 4 comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
How did you get that? In the state of New York, do you get what they just said? Hang on. Do you get what she just said? She said 75% had at least four, at least, folks, sick people were dying. They shut down the country. They shut down the world for sick people dying. Go ahead.
Nearly half of the state's hospitalized COVID patients were actually admitted for reasons that had nothing to do with COVID.
Looking at just on the 4th of January, we realized that 39% of the people are hospitalized with non-COVID related reasons. And checking in yesterday's number, that number was actually 42%. Now, that is our statewide average. But it's important to also look at the variations in our different parts of the state. The most number of people admitted for non-COVID reasons as of just yesterday or a couple days ago are in New York City. It's about 50-50. 50-50. So half of the hospitalizations in New York City are someone who needs to be there because of their COVID, severity of their COVID situation. And the other half are there for other reasons.
The other half are there for other reasons? It's been 2 years. This is not some esoteric number. This is not a footnote in a study. These are the hospitalization numbers. These are the most basic numbers that we have, the ones we talk about every day, the ones upon which all COVID policy is based. And it turns out they're completely wrong. Completely wrong. Liars. Dr. Scott Atlas is a former coronavirus advisor in the Trump White House. He's the author of A Plague Upon Our House, an amazing book on his experiences. He joins us tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. You were famously, and we've had this conversation a number of times, stunned by how political the process was when you got a look at it firsthand. But even as cynical as you became from that experience, are you a little shocked to find out that half the hospitalizations in New York were not actually from COVID?
Well, no, because I knew that then. This is not news. This is just newly revealed. This is a continuation of the denial of science and the facts, the basic facts about COVID. We've already seen almost a year ago, even the medical literature, Stanford Pediatrics published a paper showing that more than half of pediatric hospitalizations for COVID had zero symptoms of COVID. Zero. This is in the medical literature. This is in the medical literature throughout the spring of 2021, except while I was in the White House in the summer, late summer, early fall 2020, we knew this because we were defining COVID differently on the basis of simply a positive test. And so there was a complicated system of reimbursements and other incentives, and these people were called COVID hospitalizations. When you have zero symptoms of a disease, that's not the reason, obviously, for being hospitalized. You just happen to be test positive. You know, this is always, again, a remembrance for me of how it was there. When I was talking about the risk factors to the task force, the people in the task force didn't understand, didn't know, or simply denied the facts. We know now it's 2/3 of deaths of Americans from COVID are people with 6 or more comorbidities. Yet the message was out there that anybody with hypertension, high blood pressure, was at high risk for COVID. That was false. We knew that. I showed the papers to the people on the task force back in the summer of 2020. By the way, they didn't just deny it or didn't know it. They simply said I was an outlier and kept repeating misinformation. So we have to remember, these people were not only, as you say, incompetent. I was stunned. There was a moral bankruptcy, a complete failure of public health leadership.
A moral bankruptcy.
People don't take it upon themselves to know the data and to say it truthfully. So instead, they have inculcated this culture of severe fear. And, you know, you should read about this in my book. But basically, this was an intentional inculcation of fear in the American public. It was admitted to me in the task force room itself. This is really, this can never happen again. We cannot have public health bureaucrats be in charge and be deemed experts. The American people now are in a position where we have to know the data ourselves, figure out who's speaking truthfully on the basis of their consistency and showing facts, and then rely on them. We can never trust these kind of bureaucrats and people with credentials, again, simply based on their credentials alone.
Greatest crime in America, folks, nothing comes.
It is. Tucker is right. This is the greatest crime in American history happening for us right now. For those of you who are slow in math, 2/3. That means if 600,000 people died from COVID, reportedly died from COVID, 600,000, 400,000 of them died from something else. And they shut down the entire world as a result. Dr. Paul, this is right up your alley. What do you got to say about that?
Well, it's just what I've always said to my patients. It wasn't just about COVID. It was about this food pyramid that we've been the big lie for the last 40 years since 1984. And I basically, I kind of hope you guys have figured this out. I know you have, Coach. It's about fasting. It's about watching a diet. It's about sugar. It's all about inflammation. You might say it's all these comorbidities, but it comes down to one thing, really. It's about metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, being fat, smoking, sitting on your ass. That's what this is about. Okay. And I, you know,
amen.
And we just have to buck down and start taking care of ourselves so we can take care of other people. That's what I did. I had to stop drinking. I had to stop eating like a slob. And I had to stop looking like a doctor should, which is, you know, healthy.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, a comorbidity means this. I'm not being condescending. I don't mean to be condescending. If you go in there and you got diabetes and you have high blood pressure and you're overweight, your chances of fighting off this virus are not very good to begin with. So when people say that they're dying from COVID, they're dying with it. They're not dying from it. Their body wasn't able to function with this infection that came into their body. And so when they died, they said, well, COVID got another one. Well, okay, I get it. So some guy who died with COVID, maybe he died 5 years early. Can we see? That's a lot of time, right? You lost 5 years of your life. But it wasn't the pandemic that they told us that it was. That guy could have had a heart attack next week and died from something else, right? Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, how they have lied to us and been able to get away with it. So that's where we find ourselves today. See, here's what's happened, in my opinion. They're losing. They can no longer hide the evidence of what's going on. And they have to admit now that people who are dying are people who didn't take very good care of themselves. Why aren't the young people dying? I said this to my wife the other day. Somebody we know is worried about their child vaccinating their child at 4 years old. Why don't little children get COVID? Because their immune systems are up and running and good, and they haven't smoked cigarettes and taken drugs and eaten sugar and done, they haven't destroyed their immune systems. Little kids aren't going to get it. And now what do they want to do? Now they want to vaccinate the little kids. Why? So they do get it. Because why? Huh? We're those trashy people that I was talking about last night. That's what they think we are. Come on in, Joe Allen.
Well, yesterday, the CDC lady, a spokesman there, she was caught on news as well, or Fox Channel, by saying it was questioned that half or most of the people going in the hospital are vaccinated that are dying. And she stuttered on that question. She got caught. What? And then this also puts our Supreme Court, some of our Supreme Court judges, their theory squashes what we just watch.
Well, they ought to be impeached, or they certainly ought to, what do they call that? They shouldn't be able to vote on this case. They're clearly biased on this case, those Supreme Court justices. They ought to be run out of town, actually. Good word, Joseph. Let's go to, let's go to Patriot Kevin. Come on in.
Then all right, Coach. So what I found amazing was a few years ago, or a couple of years ago, when Dr. Birx, the scarf lady, stood up there at a press conference and said, with her bare face hanging out, that anybody that died that just tested positive for COVID was being marked as a COVID death. And what the amazing thing was to see that not one of those prostitutes in the press corps stood up and said, whoa, 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 wait a second. What did you just say? And make a point of it. If the press had done their damn job, this wouldn't have even gotten this far, because she admitted the game. And see, that's their tactic. They put it out there, and then they move on to the next thing.
They bait and switch. They do it quickly. Amen. Kevin, come on. Craig. Craig, come on in.
Yeah.
Spencer, get the last thing ready, Spencer, to go. Go ahead, Craig.
I'd say they're targeting these individuals. They're a burden to their financial system with these comorbidities. It's dragging down the hospitals, their social services, their social security, and
Come on, Craig. If they get rid of all those six people, they don't have to pay social security. They don't have to pay them to VA. It's what it's about. It's getting rid of the useless eaters. We all know that. We get that, right? Come on in, Leslie.
Hey, people are allowed to do what they want to. If they want to smoke, they'll just die early. If they want to eat a certain way, they'll just die early. And they're wanting to socialize everything, meaning they're wanting to control everything we do. So this is where we say, no, my body, my choice.
That's right.
If people are overweight, they're accountable to God. They're not accountable to their insurance company. They pay their insurance company. So you got to look at the small little intricate ways they come in.
Amen. Amen, Leslie. Randy, come on in. Then I want to close on this. Go ahead, Randy.
I just want to share this. The other day, Kay and I were studying together, And God showed us something, a revelation, it hit us. And then what is this, Coach? We got all the knowledge. We understand what the enemy's doing. We've got all the information. And we're telling people, and we're telling them, and we're telling them. And it's like we're looking at a fence post. Coach, look, we got to be able to do this. We have to be able to take the spirit of fear off of them before they can even hear. They can't hear, Coach. We're telling them the facts, and they can't hear. Look at all the – every time an angel or God came in incarnate form to the earth to bring a message, a proclamation, first thing they said, don't fear.
Fear not.
Don't fear.
Yep.
Coach, we have to be able to look at people and say, can I pray over you? Can I remove the spirit of fear off of you so you can hear? We have to start doing this, Coach.
Amen, Randy. Amen. Hey, Brett, come in quickly, Brett. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Hey, just shot you that text yesterday. Prayer for Jeff Hostler's son.
Yes, I shot that out. Yes. So, folks,
Jeff Hostler.
Yeah, no, I shot it out. I didn't. Maybe are you on that 18-person email? I shot it out. Anyway, I did shoot out Jeff Hostler, one of the guys, one of our friends in. In Pennsylvania, his son's in the hospital. You know, everybody knows the story, right? Ventilator, parents can't talk to him. So just be praying for him.
Yeah, praying for his wife that God would open her heart and her eyes to some other non-hospital regiments.
Yeah, unbelievable what we're dealing with here.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Brett. Let me finish on this one here today. See, I hate to say I told you so. I hate to tell you this. Folks, the attack is and will continue to be on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, by the way, Bob Saget, what was the name of that show he was on? Full House. Isn't that the name of it? Full House. 20 years ago, however long ago. That was a long time ago. Full House. What was missing at Full House? A mother. who in a mother in that Full House was there? See how they do it to us, right? See how they do it to us. Was that softening us up for men raising children? Was that what that was softening us up for, folks? Our soft underbelly. And what do we see right here? Why, I'll be darned. Caucasians are vanishing in TV commercials. What? I said to my wife the other day, really before I saw this, I said, Michelle, is it just me, or are we seeing a lot of mixed couples on commercials? Don't we see a lot of black guys and white guys on I don't black guys and white. I don't care. I'm not racist. I'm just looking and saying, well, something's going on here. Well, 27% of commercials, television screen time, are in the main source of income for radio TV stations. And look down at the bottom. United States today, the white population, not including Hispanics, is 57%. But blacks make up 14% of the U.S. population, but blacks appear in 50% of the commercials. Huh? Are you kidding me? So you start watching now, watch what's going on, because folks, I've said all along, the heartbeat of Christianity is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That is critical race theory. That's everything they're after, is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm sorry to some of you if that sounds racist. I'm just trying to explain to you the reality of what's going on, an undermining of the traditional family. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant moral values is under attack. Not that blacks don't have Christian moral values. They do. But blacks, as you know, most black people won't even speak up against critical race theory. Because why? Because they've been put in a box as well. So we have to wake up and understand the powerful influences that the TV, Full House and no mom, Full House and two men raising kids. What? How long ago was that? We have to be aware of the influences that the media is shoving down our throat. Why? Because he is the prince of the power of the air, right? Oh, my goodness, that we would wake up and understand what's going on around us, and that we would demand, stand up and fight and push back against the forces of darkness and get Christian morality. People say, well, Coach, we can't get Christian morality back. Read the Bible. This is what it says is going to happen. Yeah, but it ain't time stamped. It's not time stamped that it's going to happen in 2022 or 2030. It's not a time stamp on it. How do we know we're at the end of days? I say it again, rude awakening, great awakening. We're sitting on the verge. Rise up, O man of God. Let's do it. God bless you. See you tomorrow.